In Business on Radio Kerry with Mary Gallagher. Keeping you informed with business matters home and abroad.
Good evening. You are very welcome to In Business. Mary Gallagher here with you up until 7 o'clock this evening. Now, for many people over several decades, they would have been very used to seeing slattery's coaches travelling to the UK. And many people indeed here in Kerry listening to this programme would have travelled on them or would have known someone who used them to travel perhaps over and back to the UK. Well, the brainchild of Slattery's coaches was David Slattery, the late David Slattery, who passed away earlier this month. And he was really a pioneering man of travel. Whether it was the Slattery's coaches that travelled to and back from the UK, or perhaps the gypsy-style caravans that tourists used to travel around Kerry, he created many different aspects of his business, Slattery's Travel. Well, here now to look back at the legacy of the late David Slattery is his son, David. David, good evening. You're very welcome to In Business.
Thank you, Mary.
Look, it's less than 3 weeks ago now since your dad passed, and I suppose first of all I want to offer my condolences and condolences of everybody listening.
Thank you very much.
I know your dad will be, you know, very fondly remembered by, I suppose, not just by people in the area, but by, you know, through the business community, through the travel industry. He was a really pioneering man, wasn't he?
He was, and thank you now for your condolences. He passed away just the weekend of the 8th and 9th of October. You know, he was almost 90. He had good health for most of his life. Just the last maybe year or two, things were declining, and then just the last kind of 6 or 8 weeks. You know, but he passed away peacefully, and he was well looked after in Fatima, so thank you for that.
Okay.
Yeah, since he died, really, and over the period of the funeral and the removal, you know, it was very heartening to hear all of the stories, both in terms of a personal capacity and in terms of a business capacity that, you know, people went through Glazier's funeral home and the next few days. Lots of lovely stories, both in terms of he employed so many people and a lot of the ex-staff members and ex-team members, you know, were there and they kind of came back with great memories. You know, a lot of them have furthered their career in their own travel, in the travel industry, and gone on to big jobs both in Aer Lingus and corporate travel and even British Airways. So that was very nice to hear and to see.
Mm-hmm. And I know the famous Slattery coaches, so many people will be aware of that. And, you know, they ferried, you know, I suppose thousands, probably millions of people to and from London over the time. But I suppose that was long before Ryanair, and it made that travel so much more accessible, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Obviously, the Slattery's coach business was a very, very big business and a national business, really, of national prominence from the mid-70s to the mid-90s. Before that, actually, you know, the travel heritage and history probably started from the time before my father was born. He was born quite close to here, only about 100 yards away in Rock Street, the building that is now O'Flynn's Furniture. That's where he grew up. My grandparents had a business there, a general merchant's business. They sold hardware and they sold fuel, and there was a supermarket, and there was a bar there, and they lived over the shop. So presumably then, like, the business was kind of integral to the family and family life, because living over the shop, it was always there. You know, probably the business never closed. The bar would have been closing late at night, and then there would have people in, you know, early in the morning. There was a bakery there, so it was really going constantly, and that's really where he probably cut his teeth in business. Part of the business back then was shipping, a shipping agency for Cunard Lines and the White Star Lines and these other cruise liners, which were generally sold for emigration purposes, really, in the 1920s and 1930s and so on, as opposed to kind of leisure and travel. So my grandfather would have had these agencies for these shipping lines in the 30s, and then that would have kind of morphed into, we'll say, airline agencies for Aer Lingus when Aer Lingus was founded in 1936, and then onwards through to, you know, the 40s and the 50s. It was still all really based on immigration as opposed to, you know, leisure or family holidays or packaged holidays. And that would have come later then, probably into the 60s and 70s. So that's really where the first exposure and experience of the travel business and the travel industry came from.
Mm. And was it your father then that, I suppose, maybe brought it to that point of, say, travel for leisure, where there was, it was for people in Kerry going elsewhere or bringing people into the county?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Up until really maybe the early 70s, all travel was done out of necessity. It was more emigration. But in the late 60s and early 70s, that's when the package holiday market would have started. And my father also initiated and started a foreign language business. So he would have brought a lot of students, French and German students, into Tralee and into Kerry in the late 60s and 70s. He set up a language school in what is now, what was then, Presentation Convent. So he brought students in to learn English over the summer months. And actually, a funny story or funny anecdote that somebody told me over the period of the funeral was around the end of June, this chap who's now happily married to a Tralee lady and who has his family of his own children, himself and his buddies, and I'm not sure what age they'd have been, maybe 16 or 18, used to congregate. They knew the date that all of these exotic Spanish and German girls would be arriving into Tralee, and they would congregate down around the Brandon car park, let's say on the 20th or the 22nd of June, to see all of these exotic looking foreign students come in and probably hopefully take their chances with one of these girls over the summer months.
And that's amazing, like the late 60s, 70s to, I suppose, be that forward thinking, bringing in the foreign students.
Yeah, absolutely. So he used to bring in the foreign students, and then part of the trip, as was sold to them, would have been some sightseeing trips around Kerry. So they'd have come in and they'd have learned their English, they'd have done their English lessons, and then maybe one or two afternoons they'd have gone around the Ring of Kerry or a trip like that. He then saw that he needed coaches and buses to do all of this. So that's then when he would have first invested in his own coach. That then, you know, he had a coach and it was busy during the summer months with these students. He then would have been looking for business to fill up the coach and to earn revenue maybe in the off season. He then tried, you know, to sell certain groups to things in London, like the Chelsea Flower Show or maybe a racing festival in Aintree or things like that. The Chelsea Flower Show in London would have precipitated the first, you know, groups and trips over and back to London. People then would have bought on the trip to the Chelsea Flower Show, but not actually wanting to go to the Flower Show. They just needed to go to London. And then that just sparked an idea for him, you know, let's put on another coach service to London maybe the following week and the following week. And then that grew over a period of time into the hugely successful coach service that had many routes from Tralee through Cork over to London and from Galway through to Dublin, and even not just to London but also to Manchester and Birmingham and up into the north of England and Scotland as well.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, at a time it was essential travel, maybe people were moving to go and work, you know, maybe this was a great way to be able to get over there.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, the economic scene and the strength of the Irish economy at that stage, it's completely different from what it is now. And the airfare and the airlines really weren't in existence. So, again, there would have been a lot of people emigrating or going over and back, a lot of construction workers, a lot of people, tradesmen and everything, and they needed to bring their tools over and back with them. The price of flying was prohibitively expensive. The number and frequency and options of flights was very limited as well. The fares themselves were so expensive, £300-£500. There wasn't really a viable option really, unless you were going to take your own car. So that's really, that led into the popularity of being able to get on a coach or a bus in Galway and you needed to be in Birmingham the next day. It started with just one group and then it just really kind of took off quite successfully over a period of time. Up probably then into the 80s when it was probably at its busiest, and the coach service could have been carrying, you know, up to 250 or 300,000 people a year over and back between England and Ireland.
It's amazing. And that success continued, as you said, maybe into the 90s, was it?
Yeah, it reached a point then, really. Again, this is pre-computerisation and pre-low-fare airlines. And he had developed a network of travel agents around the country that used to sell the all the coach tickets. It got to such a level that he needed a computerized system, and he designed and developed the system himself, really in a time back in the mid 80s when, you know, computers were more of a kind of a novelty and a fad as opposed to, you know, an aid for business. This was at a time when even Aer Lingus, you still had to call in and not even fax, but send in a telegram into Aer Lingus at the end of every day telling them how many seats you had sold on one of their particular flights. So he developed a computerized reservation system and he distributed this to all the main travel agents around the country. And then that really, you know, was another acceleration for the growth of it up until the mid-90s.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I mean, the computing side of it as well, to be able to know what he needed and be able to create that.
It is. I mean, you know, computers now are so ubiquitous and we all have, you know, supercomputers in our own phones and they're just such a part of everyday life. But he was always interested in technology, even when it was in its infancy. And he understood what this could have done for the business and the efficiencies that it could have brought. And he designed it and he found some programmers up in Dublin that were able to code it and develop it. And that was a real source of pride to him in the years that followed, to say that he had the first, you know, computerized reservation system of any airline or any coach operator or anything in Ireland and the UK at that time.
When we had the introduction of the likes of Ryanair, you know, they brought air travel to the masses, I suppose. They made it more affordable, and I'm sure that kind of resulted in fewer people travelling then on the bus. I suppose, so at that point, travel for leisure, people going on package holidays, those kind of things, they were becoming more popular at that point.
That's absolutely correct. In the 80s, before Ryanair was on the scene, the airline industry was heavily regulated. And there was actually a point at that time when any airfare or changes in airfares actually had to be discussed and agreed at cabinet level. So you can imagine how regulated and how nonsensical it was for the government and the cabinet of the day to decide if Aer Lingus can up their fare or lower their fare by a certain level. So then, following the deregulation of the airline industry in the US, Europe followed suit, and that accelerated at a pace really in the early 90s, when then, you know, new entrants like Ryanair came in. They were expensive at the start, but, you know, they followed the great low fare air model. So really, the airfares of £400 were then, you know, a thing of the past, and airfares of quite affordable levels for most people came in. And that really then, you know, saw the coach and the ferry business, the page had turned really on that. But, you know, he was always, as I say, farsighted, and he could see that coming, and he developed other successful lines to the business at that stage.
Yeah, and I suppose it moved more in that direction then, more away from the coaches.
It did, yeah. He developed a very well-known and popular series of worldwide trips, Slattery's Escorted Tours, and he developed charter flights. Michael, my brother and myself, were in the business at that stage, and we had our own series and programme of charter flights from different regional airports around the country. So there was a number of different niches then that were developed that kind of coincided with the coach service finishing.
And I suppose it continued to go in that kind of direction. I know there were some acquisitions over the years in the business and that as well.
That's right, yeah. So it's kind of changed and morphed into Slattery's Travel that we have now. I'm delighted to be able to say, like, that, you know, he has set all his, my brother and my two sisters up. So Suzanne and my sister Frances have worked all in it for a period of time. So he really developed a great business and has left a great legacy for the family.
Absolutely. And one thing I had wanted to ask you, I suppose, was maybe the earlier days was the gypsy style wagons. I heard somebody mentioning to me about those that used to be travelling around the county.
Yeah, so Slattery's Horse Drawn Caravans was a great business. I'm sure there are many listeners out there who were delighted to be stuck behind the caravan as it moved along slowly along the Dingle Peninsula out towards Kemp. Again, he spotted a niche in terms of predominantly UK and German and French holidaymakers coming to Ireland, wanting a sort of an activity-based holiday. Obviously, Ireland isn't necessarily a sunshine holiday destination, so an activity-based holiday like this, you know, would be ideal in terms of something for the family to do for the whole day. So there was another operator of gypsy style caravan holidays up in Wicklow, and he went up to visit it. He then came back and he got some local carriage builders to build two initially, and they were very successful, even though it was only a small number. And then that eventually grew into the largest horse-drawn caravan operation in the country. And at one stage, he had 32 caravans operating, and they used to come really from mid-April up until the middle of September. And you know, we remember them fondly as they went out towards Kemp and Aunascall and down to Castle Gregory.
He was really ahead of the curve, wasn't he, the whole time?
He was, yeah. You know, he was both ahead of the curve as a thinker, but he was also like a doer as well. So, you know, lots of people have ideas, but he was able to just kind of roll his sleeves up and get down into the weeds and create something. And then if it was successful, you know, he'd try and push it as far as he could and to develop it and to grow it. You know, of course, there were some ones that weren't as successful, but, you know, he was able to let those go at the right time and just pursue the ideas and the business ventures that were successful.
And I suppose, like so many other industries, there were ups and downs, you know, the likes of the time when air travel came in and the coaches, you know, I suppose, weren't as successful anymore, but he was able to diversify the business.
He was, absolutely, yeah. No, I mean, you can't put all your eggs in one basket, and he could see the writing on the wall in terms of lower airfares, but there was other niches in the travel business that he exploited at the time. And not just himself, of course, because my mother was also kind of front and centre to the business and worked very hard to grow the business and to look after her family, my sisters and my brother and myself, all at this time. But he was farsighted, and he kind of knew when to get out as well, as opposed to when to kind of push it and develop as best he could.
And was he still involved in the business up until relatively recently? Was he still giving ideas?
He was, absolutely. Yeah, no. I mean, he was giving ideas, but he spent a lot of the most recent time in terms of committees and voluntary work. He was at the initial stages of the Tralee to Feenet cycleway and greenway, which has just opened recently. And there's actually a nice, if anybody is interested, if you Google Nationwide and David Slattery in Feenet, you'll see a nice clip of my dad, and he was cajoling and charming. I think it's Anne Casson is the RTE presenter, and that's like from 2014, you know, long before the council, you know, put funds into the business. There's himself and Mike O'Neill and John Moriarty on that clip. So he spent a lot of time, you know, in these organisations, and he was heavily involved in other things in Feenet, and he was heavily involved in the Rotary for 40 years. So there was these voluntary organisations that he committed a lot of time to.
And just before we finish up, just the business as it is now, when you talk to us about it?
Yeah, well, of course, it was quiet over COVID, but I'm glad to say that people are bursting to get away again, and we've had a very strong year this year, and next year looks to be a very strong year. We have a lot of different trips in terms of rugby trips and sports trips and you know, music trips and football trips, and then there's the general family holidays, and it's all looking very strong for next year.
And I know you mentioned it at the start, you know, when you were meeting people over the course of the number of days of the funeral. I'm sure it's very heartening to, you know, to hear the impact that your father had on people over the years, whether, you know, it was workers or other people in the travel industry or other business people.
It was, was, yeah. One person commented as well, you know, when they came into the funeral home, into Glaziers, there was almost a sense of, you know, celebration. There was different conversations going on between my mother and some people, and myself and some people, and Suzanne and Frances, my sisters, and they were greeting other people. And everybody had lovely stories and memories to share. And the cards and everything have really rolled in since then.
Okay, well, look, David, look, thank you so much for coming in studio. And once again, I'd like to offer my condolences to all of the Slattery family.
Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you.
David Slattery there, talking about his late father, David Slattery of Slattery's Travel, who passed away earlier this month.